Okay, I have a review. I don't mean to make it so tedious for you, but I honestly believe that we don't remember as much as we should or could, so that's why I review, right? So it just kind of works it into our brain deeper. So please don't, weary of studying. It is hard work to study. And it's hard work to learn things, okay? So no one's complained or anything. I just, sometimes I think, oh man, they're going to look at this sheet and go, oh. So hopefully not anyway. The principle of the path. One principle, one path. But it's a generic path. We'll get to that in a little bit. This is part two. Part one we are reviewing here first. And what we emphasized last week is the principle applies to you. Okay, it applies to you. It applies to everyone. Okay, we didn't really tell you what the principle was that we introduced a little bit there, but let's just review in your notes here. What you choose determines your outcome. Okay, what you choose determines your outcome. We'll develop this more today, but paths lead to predictable places. You go down a path, you end up where that path ends up. Okay? Paths lead to predictable places. When you choose a path, choices of paths lead to predictable places. So your choices lead to predictable results. Okay? We talked about that a little bit last week. Here's a quote from Andy Stanley. Just as there are physical paths that lead to predictable physical locations, there are other kinds of paths that are equally predictable. All right? Number two, this is a principle. And a principle, you can learn about a principle, is that a principle is not a law or a command to follow. It applies, or here, before I jump to the next one, you cannot break it and you cannot avoid it. The next part here is it's universal. It applies to everyone, whether you agree with it or not, whether you even know about it or not, whether you believe it or not, it still applies to you. We used gravity last week as an illustration. You don't have to understand it. It still applies to you. You fall out of a tree, you don't fall up. You fall down. Okay, you trip over something, you fall down. It applies to you. It doesn't matter what your education is, what your ethnic background, what your gender, how much money you have or don't have, how much hair you have or don't have, how much height, your physical stature, none of that matters. It applies to you, okay? You cannot break it, you cannot avoid it. It impacts every person in every area of life, okay? Number three, your choices regarding a principle. There's two choices you have regarding a principle. You can learn a principle and leverage it. You can use it to your benefit. That means that's what leverage means. Or you can ignore the principle and regret it. You ignore gravity. Does it go away? No, you will just learn the hard way about gravity. Okay? Baseline passage of scripture that I think this really relays here. We put in number four, the principle of the harvest. It's not the principle we're talking about, but it's very closely related to it. Okay? Is that you reap what you sow. Okay? Whatever you put into life is what you get out of life. And we listed all kinds of scriptures last week. Here's the main one, and I want to work on memorizing these two verses over this time and maybe a few others. But here's Galatians 6, and this is just 7 and 8, though it goes through verse 10. Why don't you read it with me out loud together? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So whatever you plant, you harvest. You don't plant bad and harvest good. You don't plant wastefulness and harvest productivity. Okay, you don't plant aimlessness and harvest purposefulness. All right, those are probably all very vague points, but we'll get to more as we go. Number five for the review from last week, results of embracing the principle of the path. It avoids regret, because the worst thing in the world is to get down the path or paths that you've chosen and wish you hadn't taken them. Okay? It helps you avoid regret and avoiding wasted time. Now, there's two ways to waste time. One is you can waste your whole life. Matthew 16 talks about that. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, right? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own? And the passage is talking about your physical life, your temporal life, okay? And the idea there is then live for God, because he will bring his rewards with him, the rest of that passage talks about. But also there's wasted time, and there's nothing wrong with this in this sense, but you will find yourself on the wrong path, and there's wasted time because you have to backpedal. It takes time to correct your path. We're going to talk about that today. That's a main point here. So here's the title of Andy Stanley's second chapter. It's the first part here, the Why Bad Things Happen to Smart People. Okay, and I've added here the principle introduced. Now he starts out talking about the Wizard of Oz. How many here have not seen the Wizard of Oz? How many have seen the Wizard of Oz just one too many times? Right? He talks in his book about he used to watch it. It would be on once a year, like on a Sunday night. For some reason, he was able to skip church as a pastor's kid. They must have canceled church for Wizard of Oz. I don't know. Anyway, he said he spent most of the time watching it from behind his dad's big chair because he was afraid of the witch, you know. And I was always afraid of the monkeys. The creepy monkeys, you know, flying monkeys. So anyway, why is that a children's tale? That's awful. But anyway, what he talks about is Dorothy is told to go see the Wizard of Oz, and the good witch, what's her name?
Glinda.
The good witch tells her to do what?
Follow
the yellow brick road. Right? And they follow the yellow brick road. I've seen it a few times myself. Not for a long time either, which is, again, scary. But and the point he makes is, well, let me read it here, because it's the idea that it's the nature of the path itself. It's not who Dorothy was. It's not who ultimately the Tin Man or the Lion was or the Scarecrow. It's the path itself, right? She just kept following that yellow brick road, and eventually she found herself in the wonderful land of Oz. Why? Because there was something special about Dorothy or her companions? And the answer is no. Because that's where the yellow brick road led. And that was the path she chose. Do you need notes? Oh, sweet. Anna, you're wonderful. Okay. All right, so that was the path she chose. And again, we understand this is a fictitious story, so you don't have to pull me aside later and let me down easy. But the idea is the path led to there, and it didn't matter who was on the path. It led to the same path, right? Okay? Now, he goes on to say this, and these are some just transitional quotes, all right, to his chapter here. Wouldn't it be great if there were a yellow brick road that led to wherever it is you want to go in life? Imagine a yellow brick road that led to a marriage that made you want to come home early every day. What about a yellow brick road that led to financial security? Or a yellow brick road that led to better health? Anyone? Kids are like, financial security? You know, I don't know about that yet, but that idea. What if there is? And the idea is, to some degree, there is. Because the Bible teaches about these things. And we're not talking about the prosperity gospel in any way, shape, or form. And you'll see that hopefully in a little bit. My second example is my own. And I've shared this before. But the yellow brick road turned out well for Dorothy. Okay? She really just hit her head, right? It was all a dream, right? Anyway, I've told you this story before, but it's poignant to the fact here. Jane and I used to drive home from Georgia straight through, 21 hours it was, because it was a 55 mile an hour, mandatory national speed limit, if some of you recall that. So it didn't matter what state you were in, it was 55 miles an hour in the interstate, okay? So we'd drive, and so since it was 55, it didn't matter if you were on the interstate or the back roads, back highways, it still was the same speed. So then the critical matter was, what's the shortest distance, right? Because it's roughly the same time, unless you have to stop, you know, at stoplights or go through towns or something, it's roughly the same no matter what. So we had some trucker sometime tell us, you know, that the Highway 41 that goes through Evansville, Indiana, it's the western edge of Indiana. It goes up there. And he goes, you can take the Penny Ryle Parkway, and I think that starts in Kentucky. And it's a toll road even. But, man, you just cruise right on up there. And instead of going, if you ever go to, Sean, that goes from Paducah up? Is that 74? 24. Okay, so 24 goes from like Nashville all the way up then. Okay? But if you go to Illinois, you like go way out of your way for the interstate. It goes back east and then over. And Highway 41 goes straight. So then we would just work our way through Illinois and then be on 74, which goes through Bloomington, Champaign, and all that. So it was a little bit shorter and saved us a little bit of time. So one time on our way home, we knew where we were going, and we took Highway 41. And we learned about Highway 41 because there were more than one Highway 41. There was the Penny Ryle Parkway Highway 41, okay, that was straight up, all the way up, and that's the toll road. And then there was the old Highway 41, which was like a two-lane highway, okay? And then we found, without trying, the old Highway 41 that somehow ended off in a dirt road, and it literally ended. I mean, we were there. And it was probably 2 a.m, something like that. And I don't know, it could have been that we had a baby or two by then, too, that we were, you know, distracted with a little bit or whatever. But it was horrible because there was no opportunity to do anything but to turn around and go back the way we came for quite a distance before we actually found that somehow I figured out what I did wrong, and then we got on the real Penny Highway 41, the new one, and then we were able to get off, you know. But it was probably, I don't know, maybe an hour of time lost, maybe even more by the time, you know, we drove there and drove back. So what I'm trying to illustrate here is you can be on a good path, like the yellow brick road, the fictitious yellow brick road, but you can also take the bad path without even knowing it. And what we'll see tonight is that you don't even have to mean to take the bad path. Right? You don't have to intend to take the bad path. You can still end up at the end of this old Highway 41 And you're stuck there, and the only way you can change is to turn around and go back. All right? We'll develop that more as we go here, but let's get started on the points tonight here. Number one, a concept here that you'll need to get a hold of here, is you need to know the difference. And this will hopefully be huge to some of you. Some of you, you'll be like, oh, of course this is true. Hopefully this marker will work well, but you need to know the difference. Know the difference. I'm writing out the whole thing so you can see it. Between solution and fix. Okay? I'm sorry, it's not fix, it's... It is fix. I have the wrong word now. Okay. Know the difference between solution and fix. No, I'm sorry. I got to change it. I read this several times and it's goofing up. Solution and path. Let's go back to that word, okay? Solution and fix are the same thing, okay, for our purposes. What is a solution versus a path? And a solution, we mean kind of fix versus a path. Okay.
On the path, I guess you're just headed
in
the right direction.
Or I just illustrated that you can be headed in a wrong direction with a path, right?
But path is the golden word, the right word.
But it's the difference between the terms that we're looking at here, okay? So let's define them, all right? The first one is, and this is what, as Andy Stanley talks about here, too often people want a solution. And what they mean by solution is a quick fix, all right?
Band-aid.
Well, it's not a Band-Aid. They just want an instant solution to their problem. They want to fix it. Now, what he says, if you're on Highway 41 in the middle of nowhere, literally, I still don't know where I was at, okay? You're out in the middle of nowhere. He says you don't need a solution. You already know what the solution is. You already know what the problem is, right? Well, I wasn't lost. I was at the end of the road I was on, right? I wasn't even lost so much. I just didn't know where this road is. You know, where am I? You know, we didn't have GPS on back then. But the difference between this and path is that the path requires time and, what do I have there for a blank? Okay, a change of direction. Okay, now what's the difference now when I say the solution and the path? Because too often we want, you know, just tell me how to fix my marriage. I just want, just give me 3 steps and I'll be done. Okay, we can be done here in 10 minutes. Just tell me what I need to do. Let's fix this and get it over with. Okay? And I mean, that's how we approach life. How do I fix my kids? How do I fix the people I work with? How do I fix my government? How do I fix my car? Well, that might work to some degree, but still, there might be a reason why your car is in the shape it's in if you followed a particular path. Okay? The path that we're talking about, the principle of the path is that there's no quick fixes. And we'll develop this tonight, so we will make it clearer before you go, okay? But a path takes time. And if you understand that there is no instant fix for where you're at, you're at the end in a very dark time of the night, in a dirt road and the road runs out, there's no instant fix. You can't twink your nose and be where you want to be. You can't snap your fingers. You can pray, and you're still at the end of the road. Okay? You haven't changed locations. God might choose to help you back, but you're still at the end of the road. You need time. It's going to take time. If you've gone down a path, it's a wrong path, like Highway 41, my illustration, it's going to take time to get down the correct path. And it's going to take a change of direction. Okay, I'm staring and there's no more road. What's my choices? I really have, at this point, in the middle of the dark, in the middle of the night, and I'm not sure to this day where I was, I only had one choice. Two choices. I could sit there and they would have found our bodies sometime later on, or I could turn around and then I had to retrace my driving path for quite a while, you know, follow where I knew I came from, and then find the right path and be on it. It took time. There was no quick fix. All right? Time and a change of direction. By the way, you need both. What's a change of direction do? I turned my car around. Did that fix my problem? It can't fix my problem. Because what did I need to still do? I need to go forward and for a significant amount of time, right? That's what you have to do, all right? You can't just, I took a wrong path, I took a wrong choice, and now I want everything to be okay. It doesn't work that way. Life does not work that way. There's sowing and there's reaping. You reap what you what? So even if you don't know, you do reap what you sow. I was reaping what I sowed, right? On Highway 41? How dare you accuse me? You're saying, Pastor, sorry, but yeah, you were kind of dumb at that point. You weren't something you missed. You know, and I reaped the result of my choices. Okay? And I think I could still see the field that I was staring at that night. Obviously, it impacted my life. I didn't know I'd be using it as a sermon illustration 30-some years later. Okay? So let's go to number two now. Instead of the quick fix, what is usually needed is a change of direction. Right? We're all moving along in life, and we'll define this even more, how are we moving or whatever, okay? But we need a change of direction. Again, there is no quick fix because we've spent time, effort, and energy going down paths, and we are there because of our choices and the time and the results of our choices and all of that. There's no instant fix. What we need is not the fix. What we need is a change of path, a change of direction, so that we're getting on the right path that will eventually lead us to the predictable result that we're looking for. Okay? By the way, I'm here today. I'm happy to announce that I did find Highway 41, and we made it home okay. Right? So I'm giving you hope here, okay? Let me read these two items here underneath that point. These are quotes, by the way. One gets to the place one wants to be the same way. You might underline that. The same way. One got to the place one didn't want to be by putting one foot in front of the other and moving in a specific direction. Now, the key point is this, the same way again, right? If it took you a while to get there, it's going to take you a while to get out. Right? None of this. Okay? The second paragraph there, this is him talking again. I've talked to many individuals who want to discuss their problems, but they really don't have problems. Now, hang with him on this, okay? They really don't have problems. They've chosen to live in the wrong direction. It's not like a flat tire. That takes a fix. No, they're at the end of a highway that they've chosen to drive on. And that's why they're there. And there is no fix for that. The only choice you have is to stay where you're at or to go a different direction. Okay, so that's what he's saying. It's not a problem if you want to define it that way. They're on the wrong path. Okay, so why am I, banging around? It's like, well, you're driving on the railroad track. You know, it's not your shock absorbers. You're on the wrong path. So the problem isn't how much bouncing around you're doing. The problem is the path you're on. Right? He says they don't need a solution. They need a new direction. So far, so good. Questions? Not rocket science, but it's profound information. Very biblical, as we'll see here shortly. Number three. Now, we're defining the direction. How do I know I'm going a direction? How do I know I'm on a path? Okay? Number three here. First word is decisions. Decisions are simply steps on a chosen path. He brings this out and he spends quite a bit of time on it. But he says we naturally, for whatever reason, see our decisions as just point in time, unrelated, unconnected events. We make a decision and that's it. And actually that's not the case, because decisions are steps on any given path that we choose. It's a series of decisions that really defines the path. Okay? He goes into all different kinds of detail. It's like if you're having financial success or failure, that is not a result of a point in time. He even was being interviewed on TV, referred to this in his book. And some guy goes, well, what would you say if somebody... with the economic downturn, and this was several years ago now, well, 3 or 4 years ago that he wrote this. What would you say to somebody that, is this really having a rough time? And he says, I don't know. And the guy stopped the camera. It's like, what do you mean you don't know? And he said, the guy's looking for three steps and, whatever. And he goes, no. He said, hard times do not make or break somebody financially. They just speed up the problem they're having all along. If they're being irresponsible, making choices down the wrong path, there's nothing you can tell them that's going to make it better if hard times hit. Okay? Hard times simply reveal what the person is. Okay, and that's true in lots of different paths. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. On the path to good, whether it's finances or using your time or raising your family or succeeding at work or whatever, ministering in your church family, all those things, what does it take? It isn't a point in time. I've given this illustration before, but one of the first churches I pastored, men like to be influencers. Some men do, not everyone. And this guy was probably roughly my age, and you could tell he really wanted to be a deacon. Okay? Sometimes deacons are, maybe that's the top of the pile. I don't know. I've not known too many deacons that thought that way. We have really good servant-hearted deacons. But I asked him, why do you want to be a deacon? You know, he didn't really know. But then I said, is what you're doing, are you doing well at what you're supposed to be doing? He did opening exercises, and he served on some missions committee or something. And he goes, no, and he looked down. Said, why would you want to be a deacon if you're not doing well at what you're doing right now? You know, what makes you think being promoted to more responsibility is going to make you a better person? And it wouldn't. And he didn't become a deacon, by the way. But that's the idea. It's the path he was choosing wouldn't yield a better result the farther down the path. He wasn't spending his time and using his time to be good at what he was had agreed to do already. Okay? Look at his paragraph here, the first one there. But just as there is no fix for accidentally winding up 100 miles from where you want to be on a road trip, sounds like he listened to me on this one, there is no fix to when you wake up to the reality that you are far away from where you want to be financially. And he just used that as an illustration. Remember last week we listed all of these different areas. Okay, relationally, maritally, professionally, whatever. He was just using that as his first example. What we experience as unrelated, isolated events, we would call those decisions, are really steps in a specific direction. Every decision you make is taking you down a path. Okay? And like every physical path you've ever ventured down, this path has a specific destination. Even though you don't realize the decisions you made today actually lead somewhere, they do. They lead you to becoming a certain kind of person, getting a certain kind of result in your life, in all these different areas of life. Your choices make a difference. Okay? I summarized something else he said in the book, but a lot of people have the idea they don't even care to talk about it. They just have the mentality it will work out somehow, which is an ultimate form of self-deception. You can ignore what the Bible says about sowing and reaping, and somehow it will still work out. That is self-deception. Because discipleship is purposefully following the Lord Jesus in very specific ways. Discipleship is losing your life for Jesus' sake. Discipleship is taking up your cross and following Him, not doing your own thing, right? So that's one path. The other path is choosing to do whatever you want when you want the way you want it. Okay? In all the areas of life. So decisions are simply steps on a chosen path. So how is the path determined for us? It isn't, number one, determined for us. We choose the path. There's no inevitable. There's things that you can't control, but we're talking about the things you can control. Okay? We're talking about the things you can control in life, that you choose to obey God and do what God wants based upon how you understand what the Bible teaches, or you choose to disregard and don't care what God says, and you make your best choice, even on your own common sense that I addressed a couple weeks ago, that I believe is a total myth. Because if it's all your ways, acknowledge Him, then that means you have nothing to go on except what He reveals, right? That's of any value or any direction. Okay, here's the principle. You ready for the principle? He'll add to this as we go through the book, but this he's pretty good at putting things in like a memorable statement. We've already talked about reap and sow. This is kind of applying that to a phrase here, okay? Number four, and this is the actual principle. I ran out of space. I had the principle, colon, but there wasn't enough space to put it all in one line. So this is what he says. He'll actually refine it a little later in the book. But direction not intention determines your destination. It's not what you mean to accomplish. It's not what you mean to do, you intend to do, what you hope or your goal is to do in life and every area of life that we talked about, okay? Whether it's your church family, your own family, taking care of your car, your body, developing yourself professionally to make yourself marketable is my point there. Direction, not intention, it's not what you hope or dream or wish will come to pass. It'll all work out somehow. Determines your destination, okay? It's the direction you're going that makes the difference. Now, no one has arrived spiritually, okay? But this applies spiritually as well. You cannot develop spiritually. You cannot be what God intends for you to be if you're not going in His direction. Even if you wish and hope and want to, but you ignore everything He says about it. It can't happen because that's the wrong path. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Okay? So it's, again, not what's on our wish list, our hope list, what I want to happen at the end of my life to be true as I look back on it. It's what the direction I'm actually going that makes all the difference. Okay? It's not my view of what I think is happening. It's, am I actually doing what God wants me to do? Okay? Am I on God's path? All right? Let me read a few things here, and then we'll say this out loud together here, because we want to memorize this as well as the passage that we read earlier. Here's paragraph one. There's three small paragraphs underneath here. The direction you are currently traveling, relationally, how you get along with other people, whether it's your spouse, if you're married, your children, your parents, your co-workers, your fellow members of your church family, any of the above, your neighbors, friends, financially, you know, how you handle your money, how do you take care of your property, how you earn your money, okay, because you can cheat, right, and make lots of money too. People do. It's called government. No, sorry, that's supposed to be a joke, but it is kind of not a joke. Okay, financially, but you can be overspending, right? You could be living by covetousness rather than by what you actually make, right? Spiritually, and again, there's all kinds of things, and they're not hard things necessarily, but they're all kinds of things that God says these are things that we need to be doing. This is the path to be on. And the list goes on. He says, let me start over and I'll read it without comment on that first part. The direction you are currently traveling relationally, financially, spiritually, and the list goes on will determine where you end up in each of those respective arenas. This is true regardless of your goals, your dreams, your wishes, or your wants. The principle of the path trumps all those things. Underline that. The principle of the path trumps all those things. It doesn't matter what you wish for or want or hope for or dream for if you're going down a path that does not lead there. Okay? Your current direction will determine your destination. Simply put, that's my favorite phrase because I like people to put things simply. Simply put, you and I will win or lose in life by the paths we choose. Not the goals we have, not the wishes we have, not the dreams we have, but the paths we choose. And we choose those by what? Our choices, right? What we do, moment by moment, our choices end up being paths. Decisions are simply steps on a chosen path, to repeat number three there. The last little sentence there under number four. Generally speaking, We don't abandon the clearly marked paths because we are looking for trouble, right? I wasn't looking to be out in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky or Indiana or wherever I ended up, okay? I wasn't looking to do that, all right? And he uses, he has a list that he kind of uses just as an illustration. But we look at, this is easier, it's more comfortable, it's more pleasurable. Okay, let me read what he says here, though. I'll read all of this paragraph. Generally speaking, we don't abandon the clearly marked paths because we're looking for trouble. There's always something about the alternate routes that is powerfully appealing. They promise shortcuts. You like shortcuts? You like things easier? Anyone here have a microwave? Okay, you like shortcuts. Okay. The microwave was the liberation of leftovers, I'm telling you. Just like the remote was the liberation of children, okay? Except find me the remote, right? They promise shortcuts of a more direct and oftentimes pleasurable routes. We seek pleasure to wherever it is we are trying to go. By the way, a lot of life is just hard work. It's not pleasurable. The whole alarm clock thing. Why did you think I call it an alarm clock? You know, they're warning you that another day is starting. Okay? It's easy to become enamored of the siren call of the wrong path and ignore the fact that we're heading away from our goals, our values, dreams, and commitments. Think about the times you've allowed a powerful emotional appeal to turn your head, grab your attention, and take you off task. You think of a time that you got distracted in some way? He throws out five phrases. 0% financing and no money down. She makes me feel like I used to feel. But he's rich. That's how business is done here. And no payments for 12 months. Right? Things that appeal to us. By the way, Luke 8 talks about the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. All of those things can deter us from the paths we need to be on. And ultimately, the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life choke us so that we become unfruitful, the Bible says. Okay? Yet we are to take up our cross and follow him. All right. Number 5 here. I'll just write it up here. Your choice. God's path or your own? Right? And again, following Jesus is not an easy thing. It's not even a comfortable thing in this life almost ever. The whole taking up your cross thing is not intended to be appealing. It's intended to be realistic. The persecution, the difficulty, you're going upstream against all of humanity that's on the wide road that leads to destruction. You're going the other way, right? You are that light in the midst of darkness. You are the salt in the midst of putrefaction. None of that is easy. I list 4 verses here, and hopefully there's enough here to show you that God has a path. And that's the path you and I need to be on in every area of our lives. God wants us to choose based upon what he has revealed, even if it's not easy, even if it's not appealing, even if it's hard. That's the paths we need to be on. Look at, and these are all in Psalms here. But notice Psalm 17:5. Uphold my steps in your paths. In your paths. Right? Is that what it says there? That my footsteps may not slip. God has paths that he intends for you to be on. And the point here is the principle of the path is you will get to the end of whatever path you're on. Are you going to be on God's path, making choices dictated by God? Or are you going to be on your own path that leads to destruction, wastefulness, ruination, following your own pride, lusts, whim, and the Bible calls it foolishness? Psalm 23:3. This is the one I thought of first. He restores my soul. He leads me in the what? Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is not passive in his leadership. He's given us 66 books in the English. They're sorted differently in the Hebrew and Greek a little bit. But he's given us 66 books to govern our lives. God is here and he has not been silent. He tells us how to live. He tells us how to think. He tells us what to choose so that we can be on the right path. And it's often not the first thing that comes to your mind. Right? Luke 14. Going back to that's where it says that, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me cannot be my follower, cannot be my disciple. The verse before that says, and you've heard me quote this over and over, God has to become before all relationships. Whoever does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and children, yes, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. That means that no relationship can be preeminent before God. Don't go home and punch your brother because you've been told to hate by Pastor Kevin. That isn't what it's talking about. You can punch your son. Go ahead. That's okay. But the idea is God has to be first in all relationships. And then he goes on to say, whoever does not take up his cross, self-sacrificing, and follow me, do what God wants, not what I want, dying to self and follow him, cannot be my disciple. It's impossible. Then he goes on to say at the end of the chapter, and he says, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now that doesn't mean you have to throw away everything you own, but you certainly can't hold on to it tightly. You can't say, well, I'll go anywhere as long as I can take my Wii or whatever, my Ford Focus. I'll go anywhere as long as I can have a cool car or make this much money or do this or that, right? Whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Is not able to be my disciple. It's impossible. He's not telling you you can't. He won't let you. He's telling you you won't be able to because you cannot serve God and mammon, right? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Why are you living? The path of God or paths of God. The point of our book is the principle of the path. It's not any particular path. The idea is if you're on a path, you'll get to the end of that path. So make sure you're on the right path, right? That's the point of that. So when you hear paths, it's fine. But he leads me in the paths. That means there's paths of righteousness, and we are to live for his namesake, not our own. Right? And again, I've said this over and over. It's not wrong to ask your child, what do you want to be when you grow up? But it's probably better to ask, what do you think God wants you to be when you grow up? Right? Who owns you? God or you? Right? That whole idea there. For his name's sake, are you living for God or are you living for your own selfish motives? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. are not of the Father, but of the world. 1 John 2 talks about. Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he, God, teach in the way he, God, chooses. Fearing the Lord is listening to what God says first and foremost, and doing what He says regardless of what other people think. Okay? There's a lot involved with fearing the Lord, but the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, right? All of that. But the whole idea is it's putting God first, and you depart from evil because God says it's evil. Alright? You do what God wants. He defines what's right and wrong. And the last one, I went to the ESV because I thought it said it better, but Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Okay, the idea is God will establish your steps as you head down his path. But if you are not, as we talked about 2 weeks ago about the whole common sense thing, if you're not consulting God in all your ways, I'll tell you right now, you're not on God's path. And you will lead to misery and destruction and a wasted life full of regret at the end of your life, however long that may be. And God has righteous paths that he wants us to be on. Are you going to fear God? Or are you going to have the phrase here, it will work out somehow and I can do whatever I want and everything will work out in the end? It will not. It will not. And by the way, God will judge you for your works as a believer. You will reap what you sow in this life, and you will reap what you sow at the judgment seat of Christ. Good or bad, by the way? What's eternal or wasted? The principle of the path. Decisions are the steps that are, how did I say here, are simply steps on a chosen path. I hope I sensitize you to the fact that every decision you make is a step in a direction, whether it's toward what God wants or away from what God wants. And as you continue making steps, you're going down a path. Whether you even connect that idea or not, you really are. Okay? And the idea is, and the hope of this is, that wherever you're at the, it could be the end of Highway 41 in the middle of the night. It'll take some time, but you can change your direction. You don't have to stay at the end of a dirt road facing a field that has no place to go. You can turn around. It'll take some time. But God defines how to live. Every choice is either a step toward the path of God, on the path of God, if you will, in the direction of God, or away from the direction of God. That's what I want to leave you with tonight. Questions or comments? So far, so good? Yeah. Judy.
I know that that's on Psalm 37, 23, 24.
Oh, really? I'll have to look that up. That'd be good. She said the last, she knows a song that's been written based upon that last verse we looked at. Okay. I'm telling you, it's not a hard book, but it's simple, and yet it's like all the way through, you'd be like, well, of course. But why didn't I think of that? It's obvious. You're stating the obvious. And yet, we need to state the obvious and then follow what God has revealed, obviously. Right? So, anyway. Sean, you want to close this in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we come before you in praise, Lord. We're thankful for your word, which guides us and gives us a light unto our path, Lord. I pray that we would just open our eyes to the path that you have before us and make the right decisions to follow the path that you have for us. us to be faithful disciples and faithful stewards of the resources you've given us, that we may please and glorify you. Lord, keep us safe as we go from here tonight, and help us to be your ambassadors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.